Okay, this is Derek Johnson, Selection Committee 2018-1. It's back in session. Time is 3:25.
Okay, so this is Dina Rader, HR Director, and I am beginning with First Florida Integrity Bank. The notes that I have here is that the court experience would not, there is little to no court experience in call centers. They would charge to access our software, and so and that the other was that the call center was just for payments. Those are my notes on this particular one. Again, I think when you set the bar in comparison what the services of the other vendor can provide, this one is just a payment center, providing basic access to payments. ACH, debit, credit, doesn't really have all of the detail, or the options, excuse me, not the detail, but options of payments that in-court does. Those are my observations. And the fee structure, I think, would start adding up pretty quickly, too. That's it.
I'll go down various categories what we were just looking for. I liked the response itself as far as it kept to the letter to the RFP. It was very easy to follow and it was well written and very succinct. So I appreciated that because it was just easy to read. I was okay with the qualifications and experience. They haven't, you know, as a company, it's not a 20-year thing, but they are our current banking services provider, so we have specific experience with them, and to my knowledge, that has been excellent. And I would underline excellent, so I have no issues there whatsoever with that. Kind of a general comment, sort of taking up on yours, the call center issue here is the one really for me to focus on. The technology part, the banking services part, the advantage perhaps of having things consolidated in one basket, so to speak, with existing services, those are all great. The call center part obviously is the issue. It's a business or banking focus as opposed to that particular element. And I think that's so important. And when we talk about the cost of these things, that is a significant long-term cost for us because of what we've talked about before. If we have a call center that can offload a reasonable portion of the work we are currently having to deal with, that's the cost that keeps on giving, basically. We're recovering perpetually those expenditures, so that's very important. I will say that as far as the devices themselves, the Clover readers, absolutely my favorites of what were suggested there. It was a wonderful choice as far as a technology standpoint. Loved it. So as far as the hardware they were suggesting, I was very impressed with that. I'll yield to Steve on details of that as far as things, but my impression was absolutely loved that, and that they specifically had referenced that. Just looking down here, they had mentioned an IVR as part of their response, I think, to that whole call center question. It was through, and I didn't write the company name down here, but it's through another partner. And although I think the IVR might offer something, I think in this day and age, you said this earlier, Jill, that if you're to the point that you're going to call the IVR as opposed to just get on your computer and go to the website anyway, you're calling because you want a person. I mean, we see it here. People call our phone tree, and they hit zero because they don't want to listen to it. They don't want to. That's not my question. I don't want to have to listen to three other answers first. I want a person to help me. So again, that the day of that technology may have sailed. Some startup costs and things, obviously, but I guess those are kind of general comments. So I liked the response in general. Very good points as far as the technology and the banking services, in my opinion. I think the part that would be harder is that call center piece. And it is fairly important to us, in my opinion.
I had a lot of the same observations. The call center was kind of a big sticking point here. The ACH, they mentioned that and talked about it. I don't know what page it was, but they basically said, you know, we could utilize the same system we're using right now and just switch to their first data. Switch over to them, which, you know, that doesn't really change anything one way or the other there. The statements, they seem like they have quite a few listed. You know, obviously, it's still the same question with me about whether or not we can get the information by individual. I mean, they work with us really well now because we have separate deposit slips for every cashier, so that makes it really easy to reconcile. But that's my biggest fear with all of them, is being able to reconcile if it's all one lump sum deposit. Those are the big things that I have.
Mine, of course, was the call center. And you're right, this is a great banking proposal, but obviously with names like In Court, if the court-related service, the whole thing is a service that involves the courts, not just the banking end of it. So, but yeah, because I liked their equipment too, same thing, those ones you plug in and they, that's what we need. And they also had nice pictures of them in there. But then I knew what they were talking about. I mean, it's tough for me to read the technical stuff if I don't. So I liked the pictures.
Well, I liked them with some questions. They use their third-party authorized net as their web service, which their solution does, they recommend, is a SAQ-AEP, which is exactly what we use right now. We do hosting of that, goes through us, gets sent out, and it's encrypted at that point. They don't host it at all. Now, they don't say whether authorized net does or not. That's a possibility. That could change it so that we don't have to host it. It's hosted in there. But as of right now, from everything I read, we do the hosting. I don't like that. The other thing, though, the first data point of sale boxes are validated point-to-point encryption boxes. I really like the Clover Mini. I thought that was neat. I liked that. It didn't have pricing and stuff on it, but I liked it a lot. It's P2P as well. They are a certified, validated, listed member of the PCI, so I liked a lot of it. I just don't. The other ones, like In Court, for example, the way they present their ports and their portals and everything else, I'd rather go without us having to do any hosting at all.
I may be wrong, but I think the price on the Clovers that they quoted was $385.
Could be.
I think it was page 25. But.
Oh, okay.
There is page 25,
so
you know. Yeah, no, like car terminal. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's 50% off the terminal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fee.
Okay, we have current experience with First and Florida Integrity. I didn't see any, no other counties using it. I thought that I had a hard time figuring out all of the fees that they listed, and I wasn't sure what all applied, and their ACH
I didn't either.
Fees on there. This was got very confusing to me to try to figure out what would apply.
I'll do my best during the pricing.
Okay.
But, again,
my concern would be the limits to the monthly limits to the ACH transactions for e-recording.
But if I could just interject one more time. The reference that I read to the group from Point and Pay, specifically number 5, the question regarding the call center and a functionality was given a 4 out of 1 through 5 was given by St. Lucie County Clerk of the Circuit Court. So if you reference that in your response.
Follow up with them and ask them what the one point was they didn't hear.
Could be just hard graders.
One thing. Focus. Are you ready for focus?
Oh, I thought you were telling me to focus. I'm focused.
Back on track.
I need a redirect every once in a while. Just ask my boss.
One thing that caught my eye was the ACH transaction fee of $2.95. That wouldn't probably help our e-records that are currently used to paying much less than that. And then on the credit cards, they listed a statement fee too. I'm not sure if. It was a per item and a statement fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had other fees, you know, a $35 annual fee and a $5.95 to the IRS.
Again, I'll try to do my best to explain it to you, but I've got to say, as a precursor comment to that, pricing merchant services is extremely difficult, and there are essentially two different methodologies for doing it, but I won't spoil the whole show, and I'll try to go as fast as possible to explain it to you.
I thought that their response was pretty, you know, it was basic, but didn't have a whole lot of. A lot of detail.
Yeah, that's what I walked away with. It was very light, no information, very hard to validate anything. They do offer both hosted and client-hosted solutions for online payments. They talk about P2P, and then they have shown nothing that says how they implement it, how they're going to use it, what they're doing. But then they show pictures of these first data point of sale boxes, which are P2P and verified boxes. But then again, they don't explain anything in there. I didn't get any details of what I needed to say, yeah, I feel comfortable with that.
I didn't think they even met the basic requirements or responded to everything that was in it, so I really had no idea what they were doing. I just wrote no, hardly anything. I didn't get anything that I was looking for.
Yes.
Know who they are even.
A couple things that I noticed, obviously, I look at the finance part again. They have a cutoff time of 5 p.m., which currently all of our systems run till midnight, and if we cut off at 5 p.m., that's going to create reconciliation issues, obviously, again, for us. The nice thing is the funding for Visa, MasterCard was 24 hours, checks and debit cards were 48 hours, so that was pretty good. I also mentioned about the chargeback activity. I don't remember what page that was on. Well, at 5 p.m.
It's noted in the pricing, too.
Yeah. 5 p.m. is also, it's Central Standard Time, so it's 6 o'clock our time.
6 o'clock our time.
But I did make a note out on the side of the road trip because they are in Houston, Texas, so we need to.
And what would be in Houston, Brandon?
Oh, there's baseball.
There we go. I just want to clarify. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
They can do full or partial payments, but they listed nothing on their exceptions. But they didn't, everybody said, they didn't mention a whole lot about any kind of call center really that would really cover anything of what we're looking for there.
The 5 p.m. actually, I did notice because it was one of the few details I could really pick up from the response. And I also thought about our satellites. Mm-hmm. Anyway, same comments. It's just such a cursory response. There just isn't any detail here to speak of. To say I evaluated it poorly, well, it was more a case of not being able to evaluate it much at all because it just didn't go into much detail. They said, well, yes, we can do this and we can do that, but they didn't really go into anything beyond that. So, same comments?
Yeah, I noticed right off the top that in Exhibit B they said they could comply with all our aspects. They don't have anything about call centers. They don't have any detail about who their clients are, including government entities, municipalities, and so forth. It just gives you a lot of fluff and no content, I think, is the best way to put it. There was nothing here for me to even evaluate. I don't think that they have any idea what we do.
Mm-hmm. Next.
The next one would be MSB Government Services. The comments that I made on this, again, very basic. I think their call center really is just for payments, and it's not really a call center that we could utilize for court information. And their costs was to others, they didn't charge the clerk that I could see, but they only took the three types of payments, debit, credit, ACH, and so I felt like they were very restrictive in their services provided. I think it was just sort of a very high-level payment recipient. That's it. I can't really say any more about them.
Do I cut you off?
Nope.
There were some things about this proposal that I liked. I found it a little harder to read because there was a lot of things in it. They didn't follow the format as well, so it was a little more sifting through things than I would have liked. They had a lot of municipal references. I didn't see any in Florida and no clerks, so I appreciated that they were working with government, but it seemed to be a different niche than working with us. Okay. The other comment there is that somewhere in here I found a reference that they appear to be part of a company called GILA, G-I-L-A, LLC, which if you look them up, they're a collections company. So I got the impression that they were kind of an offshoot of collections, and I wondered if particularly related to the call center, if that focus isn't exactly quite right for us. I mean, yes, part of what we do, I guess, is sort of collections in a way, but I guess I personally have a different impression of what it would be to be a call operator for a collections company versus mm-hmm. a service desk for a call center for a clerk of court. So I had a little bit of a question there. The fees, again, I leave to Derek on that, but I noted that they had what appeared to be generally good fees, and that they did have something kind of strangely interesting. They had a 20% net revenue rebate program.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I will leave that to you again.
I'll try to quantify that for you, but just to give you an opening comment on that, that's going to be really difficult in a convenience fee environment. Because it really constitutes a refund.
I didn't quite think that was... But it was just an interesting notation. It was different. That was the only one I saw. The security seemed very good. Again, I'll leave the details of that to Steve. It was a little different than I was expecting their response, but I speculate if it's better or not. So I'll leave that to Steve, but that was interesting to me. They talked about kiosks. I don't know that
I... Why didn't we ask about kiosks?
Yeah.
Now I'm interested.
And I thought that was really an interesting element, but I don't know if we would do that or not.
Myself, I can.
It was kind of interesting.
I didn't expect to see 7-Eleven payments either.
They do the email reminders, which I thought was nice. Call center was 8 to 10 daily, except some holidays. I assume it's Texas time zone, I think they said. Those were kind of my comments.
Yep. I had a lot of the same comments as what you just mentioned. It seemed like the call center was mostly to assist in making payments. It really didn't seem like they were gearing anything towards helping with court questions or anything like that. They did say they spoke many languages, but I don't know if that would help much on our end as far as that goes. Spanish would probably be the biggest one for us down here. They did say that they can settle by merchant ID number, which I would imagine just about everyone can, but I don't know if they would be willing to do a merchant ID for each individual reader or not, or if there's a way to separate that out. Again, it goes back to the reporting for me for reconciling. They also mentioned they had no issues with the exceptions, and they mentioned about their terminals only be $199 a terminal. They did have the convenience fee model, I think it was page 84 where they're talking about, where basically the charges are going out to the individual, which is what we asked for. But then they also talk about the chargebacks and everything sent separately, and so then I'm guessing that the chargebacks, they would charge us back for those, but...
Yeah, I didn't get that either, $10 for the chargeback, I was confused.
Mostly everything, was along the same lines as what you said. The call center being open all but like 5 days, I think it mentioned in the... but again, it's still just a payment assist center, basically.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a beautiful presentation. They renamed Clam Pass Calm Pass, which I think is a better name. Calm Pass.
Yes.
I think somebody should go to the board
and
see about getting
that.
It changed, because I like it. But I thought they put a lot of nice effort into personalizing it to us.
You sent somebody
back. Ms. Langer, if we want to discuss that with the people in Pelican Valley.
Yeah. Calm Pass. Okay. Uh-huh. So, I think it's just payment questions for it. They're out of state. They are government, though, which does help. But you're right, not exact. I don't know if they know what a clerk's office does. The fees confused me. And again, I think the clerk has to log in to their system. And so that is out for me.
Definitely, the clerk has to log into their system. That's the way they're set up. They're solid on the security side, and I wasn't turned off by anything I was reading. They offer a Nexus payment portal, which you do have to log into. They do the hosting on it, complete PCI compliant, and HTTPS, very secure. They don't use... They like to refer to themselves as an end-to-end encryption. It's a little bit different from a point-to-point encryption system. We request a point-to-point. They can comply with that, but they like the end-to-end, which means it's encrypted from the time you swipe the card till it hits our workstation, till it hits them. Point-to-point encrypts it as it hits your workstation, not at the card swiper. Either one is PCI compliant and verified, but then they turn right around and mention that they use Verifone terminals, which are all point-to-point encryption. So, I don't know what they do. I just know what they've got written here. So, they are fully PCI compliant and verified, so I didn't have a problem with them. I just think we'd have to clarify some stuff. If you have questions about some of those acronyms, you can ask me. I'll let you know.
You did hit us with a lot of acronyms. Some of them I actually knew.
Sorry.
Well, I really liked their prices. That was the first thing. They didn't have any Florida references. I caught that on page 86, that rebate, and I thought we wouldn't be able to accept a 20% kickback.
Yes,
I didn't exactly think that. I don't think we would be allowed to,
that's what I thought,
to get kickback. to accept any kind of fees like that. Too bad, but. It was a very nice presentation with pictures of Naples in there and the courthouse and everything.
Job.
So they must have sent somebody down here after the hurricane to take pictures.
One of the benefits of being somewhere where everybody wants to be.
But that's pretty much all I have.
Okay, Terry, you get to kick off with our last vendor of PayNet.
Okay, let's see what I have here. Okay, there, again, it mainly, everything was court fees, court payments. I didn't see, I had trouble finding anything to assure me that any other non-court services were going to be covered. There are fees kind of graduated as on the dollar amount. There was no limitations on number of transactions on page 37, which I like that. CHP check. They did have some good references on page 8 with the Collier County Sheriff's Office, Pinellas and Palm Beach.
They completely baffled me. they mention point to point, and then they use these GovSwipe point of sale readers. They're not listed anywhere as a solution for point to point. They say they are. I couldn't validate it anywhere. I would think they are if they're out there pitching them in this type of a environment. So I would like to say, just because I couldn't validate it doesn't mean it's true. That's just the way I feel. I looked, I did some checking, I could not. They do offer a hosted web solution, but it does link back to our site, which I don't like. It's almost like a screen scrape like we're doing right now. I just don't like that. And as going through their certifications and stuff, they had two in there. One was outdated, one wasn't. Don't know why they included that, but they confused me. I walked away going, I have no idea.
I don't think they really have a call center. I think it's for us to call. We do have some good references from right here, local CCSO. But again, that's straight payments that they're doing, or bond.
They seem to have a focus in the public safety environment.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, but again, the call center is not really what I need. So.
Same things. I saw that they use the sheriff, and that their call center basically seemed for like payment assistance. They did mention that they passed on the fees of the card order, which obviously we were asking for. The funds would be available the next day, which was pretty nice. They mentioned on, I think it's page 13, this PLC, where they're talking about pay location codes.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of caught my eye, just because I thought, well, you know, if they do that with each machine, that would be an easy way for us to reconcile for on our end. But then they also mentioned about it's batch processing. It can be either manually or auto-approve the batches. Because if it's manual, you can go in, and if there's duplicate payments, like, you know, on occasion we have those now where multiple payments are made by a person trying to get their credit card to work, not realizing that it's hitting it every time that they hit the button. And so we go back in and refund those usually the next day when we get the reports and reconcile. But I'm not sure we'd want to change to a manual system to do that, to avoid that, because we only have two or three of those in a week, so it's not really worth doing that.
It seems like their PLC, they kind of use like case number, citation number type.
They did mention, which is obviously what we asked for, that they would assume for the chargebacks, which was good. It says, it did say here, input data from county computing device. I'm not sure, that was on page 18, I'm not sure what they were trying to mean by that. And I don't know if we're inputting the data or if they're reading it off the card and sending the data along or what. They also use the pay near me where the 7-Eleven, the CVS's, for cash payments. And they were one of the ones, and I didn't notice it in anybody else, but they actually did mention about that, you know, that they have a data breach plan and kind of hit on that a little bit, which was kind of surprising. You know, it's a good thing, I think, but nobody else had ever mentioned it. I saw or read in any of the other machines or any of the other
Link back to our system from their most is what I was talking about with the data that you're talking about. And I don't like that. That's just me.
A lot of the same things. One of the biggest ones, like Jill had mentioned, they're focused in municipal and law enforcement. And I wondered, again, if that is a certain rigidity to their business. The whole thing about the proprietary swipe pads that they use, which I couldn't tell if they're EMV-enabled for chips. It looks like they're swipe, which I thought was a little outdated.
They're proprietary, so
that was kind of, I didn't get too far with that. The PLC thing was kind of interesting, and I admit I hadn't looked at it from your standpoint of doing it maybe at a cashier level to help you with that issue. But I got the impression more that even our clerks would be having to constantly enter that, and customers from the outside would also have to be doing it. So if a customer went to our website to pay something and then they're basically forwarded to theirs, they have to put in that PLC, and I'm like, well, yeah. So I thought that might be a little cumbersome the way it was explained. I don't know if I understand that fully. Again, I liked this was the other one that allowed the payments like at 7-Eleven thing. I thought that was good, but I didn't think this really worked well for us. It didn't seem a good match with us.
I didn't see anything specific in the call center that would assist us. Again, same issues that I've had with several of the other ones. The one thing that I took away from this when I looked at their firm profile is that, again, as everybody else has said, their focus has been in law enforcement, investigations, public safety. And I think that they are trying to branch out and find other opportunities because of the sentence where it said, enabling the company to continue to accelerate its growth in terms of both available services and contracting opportunities. So I think that they see this as a way to maybe expand their scope a bit out of the law enforcement arena. Mm-hmm. But given that being the case, I don't think that they would offer us the services that we really truly need, ACH for recording, and payment flexibility for courts, as well as the call center for relieving the court system of the bodies that have to answer the phone. So this didn't meet our needs.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about pricing. Try not to bore you to tears with this. I'll try to make it as understandable, but I got to tell you, it's very, very complicated. Let's start. The simplest form, let's talk about where we are, because this is all about where we are and where we're going. I'm going to add a couple more data figures for you. We already talked a little bit about this. Last year, we did 14,300 roughly transactions online, $2.7 million. That's trafficking criminal. That's where we are now. We did 5,600 ACH transactions. That's $23.8 million. Those are our two big online type payment streams. Over-the-counter, is essentially the rest of it at $114.5 million. That's what's going to change with what happens here. Those are going to be brought in, I believe, more into the online payment function and over-the-counter by card. Mm-hmm. I did a little research with utilities, which operates a 65,000 account plus, I guess, client base, about all the different ways they collect money. They collect it, I won't give them all probably, lockbox, IVR, ACH draft, and online credit card payment. I would ask you to guess, and I don't have specific statistics, what's the most rapidly growing section of their collections? Online payments. So I think we got to think about where we're going. With that said, here's how credit card processing or pricing usually works. Two different ways to look at it. One is called interchange pricing plus. So there's an interchange. These are fees that don't have anything to do with us. It's what a credit card company is going to charge. And it's different. There's all different types of little assessments and the like. And then a merchant processor will say, generally, I'm going to charge you an amount on top of that. Often it's 0.0 some percent. It could be 0.05%. It could be 0.08%. It can be even more. But as this becomes more prevalent, I think those the merchant processing plus fee has come down a little bit. There are also per transaction fees that apply. And you've seen some of this in the documentation that you read. Sometimes it's a little more complicated. Sometimes it's less complicated. The other way of pricing it is something that's, I guess, generically termed bundled. 2%. We'll pay the interchange. We'll pay all that other stuff. So they build a percentage that they can live with that they know they'll be able to clear. Because if Jill Lennon uses a credit card, it's not the same interchange as mine. Mine's a MasterCard. Yours is a Visa. You know, you have travel miles, rewards cards. It's very complicated. Mm-hmm. Generically speaking, in the market, it's usually thought that the least expensive method is interchange plus, because then there's no premium, if you will, put into the percentage to cover that risk of paying the interchange more than what you're collecting. That sounded kind of complicated, but in the end, interchange plus is generally cheaper than just flat percentage processing, a bundled rate. With that said, I did analysis of each one of the vendors and their pricing. I believe, you know, anytime you analyze anything, when you get figures that make sense, it always helps quite a bit, because you know if it's too far afield, you know you've done something wrong. Two of your vendors propose interchange plus pricing. That's FFIB and Focus Merchant Services. They're also the cheapest, by my calculation, of any of the vendors. Focus Merchant Services, if you go to their list of prices, essentially are telling you, we're going to charge you whatever Visa, MasterCard, Discovery, and Amex charge to take that card plus 3 pennies per transaction. Now there's other fees. There's a $5 statement fee, and then there's an ACH is very expensive. Mm-hmm. And that does have to be considered. But from the standpoint of what they're going to charge 3 pennies on top of whatever the interchange is. So what I did is I took the activity from November 2017, actual activity that we did, processing, admittedly, again, a small segment of these transactions, to come up with what an average fee would have been. And it was $1.52. It's very, very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Next up was FFIB. I calculated using the same logic and the fact that there were some assessments included on their list, which was a little bit longer, but still laid out so that I could figure out the charge. It's a little bit more expensive at, you know, an estimate of $183 per transaction. Then it gets more expensive from there. In some cases, easier to calculate, though. So the next I did was JP. JP's pricing is 2.5% of the payment amount. And of course, credit cards and debit cards are not always treated the same. And in fact, I took that up because I can tell from our statement what's a debit card and what's a credit card and what's a debit card. And so that's factored into the rates I've already quoted you. On to JP is 2.5% of the payment amount on a credit card, not present, online transaction, and point of sale credit card and PIN debit is 2.5% with a minimum of $3.95. Okay, here's where I had to change my focus. If our average ticket is $1.90, then I multiply it times the 2.5% to come up with the average cost. And that's $4.75. Just as kind of a scale. Next pricing I did was GovPayNow. They did it a little bit different. The fee is different in the range of the transaction, but again, the simplest thing and the most comparable thing I can do is compare it to our average ticket, which is $190. I also, that was the average for FY 2017. It was also the average for November 2017. So it's really spot on. But again, that's where we are, not where we're going. So for purposes of that, GovPayNet came up at $447. So you see, you got your interchange plus people are on the low end of the price. No question about it. Now you're running into some similarity. What did I quote? $475 from the previous vendor, which was JP. $447 from GovPayNet. Now we go to the other end of the spectrum, the most expensive vendors, or the more expensive vendors. NCORT, again, as we've talked about, the different percentages per payment stream or payment channel. So we're 4% online on mobile device or IVR. So that's versus, for instance, with official payments, 2.1%. It's 3.5% on an over-the-counter transaction, and then a call center transaction is 7%. So this is your most expensive option. So if you price that $190 ticket three different ways, I come and pay over-the-counter, I pay online, or I pay via the call center. It would be $7.60 online, over-the-counter would be $6.65, and the price paid per card transaction through the call center would be $13.30. So it's the most expensive option. Next up was MSB, and they quoted a bundle rate of 2.01%. And of course, they referenced the rebate. Really not sure that's a workable solution, because if we were paying the charge, and rebate happens all the time in the credit card industry. If we were paying the charge, the rebate would make sense. It doesn't make as much sense to be earning a rebate on a convenience fee, I don't think, in our situation.
Right.
Next up was official payments, and I do apologize that I didn't go in the order that I told everybody else that they had to go in, and I did noted. I duly noted that. Official payments pricing 2.1% with a $1 minimum. Because that comes out to $3.99 per transaction if it's a $190 ticket again. I'm always using that average because we really are on that average. Mm-hmm. I do know that in the case of civil payments are larger. But again, we don't know what kind of behavioral patterns we're going to have. All we do is we know what we have. And we can only assume that, that credit card processing will go up as payment channels are open. Mm-hmm. And from the people I've talked to in the industry and even in our own government locally, online is where it's at. Nobody really wants to come in unless they have to. So that's the convenience. Last but not least, I priced Point and Pay. It's a bundled flat fee, $3.95 per transaction. So $3.95 per transaction. So you see the similarity between the $4.75 with JP all the way down to the $3.95 per transaction, and there's $4 in between. So you've got interchange plus on the low end, and then you've got the full service on the other end, more expensive. So I did my own ranking according to price. But again, as a non-voting member, you guys are in charge of ranking according to price also. So I assigned to the least less expensive
Other than, again, we've got to talk about ACH a little bit, because 50 cents in ACH is cheaper than a dollar in ACH.
So we did 5,000. Did they say 18 cents a transaction?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought I must have written something wrong here.
Well,
18 cents. But they might have other fees. I wrote down some weird fees I saw.
So Point and Pay and InCourt, what were they?
Point and Pay was a flat fee of $3.95 per card payment. An IVR was $5. We haven't talked a lot about an IVR transaction, but that involves a phone call and a message, a little bit more expensive. Another thing that I recall from speaking to the utilities department is the IVR traffic is kind of stable, stagnant. It's not what's happening in the world. People are paying online and credit cards. And then the ACH was a dollar. A dollar was almost a fungible price for the ACH transaction, so we know we're getting a market rate. I mean, everybody's bidding a dollar, except for the case of the $2.95 or the 18 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And then NCORD at 50 cents. Last year, and one of the things I think the committee also has to bear in mind, is we're already doing online ACH recording. So the traffic we have now is somewhat indicative of the traffic we're going to have. 5,600 transactions.
No.
You don't think?
No, it's going to increase. It's going to keep. It's,
when you
it's increasing
your car,
and increase.
It's going to increase because we already have more people signing up for e-recording.
But nothing we're doing here is going to increase it. It's growing.
It's growing on its own. That's correct.
So when I'm talking about the price of the ACH, and we want to save money wherever we can, we did 5,600 transactions last fiscal year. At a dollar per, that's $5,600. We're going to do more this year because more people are coming on board with it. But I don't know that a lot of people are going to pay the recording fee on a card. But I don't know. But then again, that's a different fee than the ACH fee. I'm just saying, that
maybe
was one
NOC.
NOC, that's exactly
yeah.
what I was thinking. Yeah. If it's a $10 record, they might. If it's a $40,000 mortgage, right. they're not.
Right. And I think part of this process is going to be educating our people as to how to use the process as selected the best. But, I mean, people are wise with their money generally, so.
And what was
so
it? Point to Pay and InCourt? What were the fees and InCourt, did you say?
Point to Pay, again, was $3.95 per transaction.
Okay. And the IVR?
And the IVR was $5. I was less concerned with that amount, again, judging what our average traffic looks like. Mm-hmm. And there was a dollar for ACH.
Okay. And then InCourt was?
And InCourt is, again, if you pay online or with a mobile device or IVR, it's 4% of whatever it is you pay. So at $190, that's $7.60.
What was MSB?
MSB
ACH was
50
cents.
18 cents per ACH, which is
ACH,
the cheapest by far, but 2.01% of whatever it is you pay. And at $190, that's like $382.
Okay.
So it's just a good average. So again, they're on the lower end of the spectrum. And when I rank according to price, I took that into account. Or scored according to price.
But now those are all supposed to be passed on to the
yeah, you have the option to not do it. And again, education is going to be everything in this process. But I didn't price it. I priced it like you get the least points for being the most expensive.
So where does how is the pricing fee on Apple, Google, and PayPal?
Well, they would be online.
Online. I mean, I think that's classified as a net payment. And some people are very clear about that. What am I reading here? Under NCORP, price paid per card transaction online, based on online mobile device or IVR, is 4%.
Okay.
That's an interesting point, though, when negotiations occur after a recommendation from this committee occurs, if there is a separate, perhaps cheaper cost to that than an actual credit card transaction. They weren't quoted that way in these responses, and I don't know if that is the case, but it would be an interesting question for follow-up.
Well, again, the way I look at it, and I'm not in the business, is from a holistic standpoint, remember what we said, and that's what makes this so interesting, and it was a benefit for me to participate. You've got a spectrum of services, merchant processing, all the way to full service. And the rates are designed to recoup the cost of providing service. And it's usually ratable sort of across the different payment streams.
Right.
But a good point.
I think for me, I think for me, it's almost like cost is a little bit too all-encompassing because there's two costs here, or two perspectives on cost. One is the cost to the clerk and our ability to function as an agency to provide the services we need to our customers as a whole with the budgets we have available. And the other is the cost to our customers for the services they are using. And you hinted at this earlier, and I've known this for many years, is that there's always that choice of, well, are the services we provide paid for by everyone's tax dollars, even though they, you know, in some services we provide service everyone, even though they may not use them directly, like maybe OR records, everyone needs that. So collectively all taxpayers pay for it, and collectively all taxpayers benefit from it. So are we absorbing those costs and their budgetary costs, or is it a pay-as-you-go kind of thing where if you use that service, then you pay for that service, not this gentleman over here from his taxes? So I kind of think of the costs as it's a double-sided coin. No, I don't want to see someone that got a traffic ticket paying 40% fee to pay their traffic ticket with a credit card. That's absurd. But there is that perspective to keep in mind. And what you gave is very helpful, but it is the end user's cost.
No, I quantified it for you. But but again, that's kind of why I alluded earlier to the fact that, so if you've got a robust call center,
and it's saving you
have,
staff,
and we don't have to have, I don't know, two FTEs,
that's,
holistically, then you've taken some burden off all taxpayers.
And put it on those people that choose to use that service. And they do have other choices.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we do want to remember that it can't be too high priced that people don't use it. We have a lot of indigent people, but they can't come up with the cash, but they might have a credit card that has a $500 limit they can put it on. But we want them to pay. That's a whole big part of this, too. It's why we finally got criminal on there, thank goodness, because it brings in more money for us. Some people just don't have the cash, but or their mother or father might charge it for them and get it paid off for us and then pay monthly on a charge card. So we can't make it too high that people will stop using it either.
Right.
And this may not be applicable, but it might. If they have that option, that's easier for them to pay via credit card and whatnot, family members can help pay, then it might stop the process of them going to collections, with which they're going to pay 32%, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
32%.
That's a good point.
And that's traffic tickets, that's whatever the fine is.
Right.
It's not just, you know.
It's a good way, actually, to advertise it. So avoid your fine being increased by 32%. By paying with a credit card. So yeah, it might be.
That might be an interesting advertisement if you do the automated email payment reminders to say, well, if you pay by this date, you might get by with this, or 32%
of the ad. 32% is added, which is horrendous, and
it
I completely disagree with, but it is what
it
is.
Because it adds pain to the injury.
Right. And we don't want it where they can't pay it and their license gets suspended and they get back in our system. We're not a money-making, for-profit business. We want to help people get it paid and be done with that. So.
But your point is well taken. If the fees are too high, you would actually, in an extreme situation, drive people to pay at the counter.
Cash.
We don't want,
we don't want that.
I mean, not that we don't want their cash, but I mean, as far as that creates a cost for us.
Traffic.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I guess I'd throw in the devil's advocate. Why don't we want that?
Why don't we want to have
more
counter?
Staff.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to have a line like other counties do. So.
Somebody yells at you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm not even going to catch who it is.
Derek, could you go over first Ford Antigrade's fees again?
Sure. It's interchange plus pricing. So what that means is, again, it's subject to whatever card the person presents, plus, in their case, I think it was like 0.05% of whatever amount is being paid. So that's 0.0005, plus there, I thought there was a 2-cent transaction fee and then like a 3-cent authorization fee. I may have those backwards.
Okay. And ACH?
ACH. I thought it was $1 in ACH.
Oh, no, I wrote many add-on fees.
I know. I was more standard on their cases. Yeah, that's why I thought
Well, that's, I mean, that is how complex the interchange is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I didn't understand. Yeah,
yeah, I got blurry when I saw all the lines. I was like, oh, no.
In some ways, I think this was complex because of the call center element. I mean, all the rest of it is basic technology and payment channels and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are some little fringe things like paying at a 7-Eleven, I understand that. But the rest of it is very straightforward. That was the twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
And were that separate somehow or not part of this,
mm-hmm.
I would look at these very differently.
Yes, me too.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was kind of the outlying issue, even though it was bundled as part of this.
Actually, I think it was more of the central issue.
Right,
this
it
is
was
what
the only reason I was really willing to go to RFP and make a change.
That's right.
I
understand.
This actually drove the whole, and so it was trying to come up with a call center, and the payment options were really the bonus to it. That's what we were looking for, was that relief of the call center.
Agree, I understand that. I'm just saying it was the unusual element. I'm not saying it wasn't the central element. It just
the
was
the unusual element.
You know, it was like, you know, we're having
my eyes again to it. Yes.
You know, it's like we're having a pizza, and in the middle of it is a lobster. I mean, just something strange. It was the one piece that was kind of harder to make this fit.
Like saying, okay, this is already our bank, so for Raymond, this would be so much easier to do that. You're right. If we were just looking for a credit card company, absolutely, that would be a right. But that's
easy.
Is not the issue. Looking for a bigger court system, so that makes it tough.
But I think that the benefit to that is agency wide. It can be used to the benefit of all of the citizens by taking the payments at different locations and having that ability to pay point-to-point or online or having all of those options available to them. So I think that's a bonus to what we're looking for, which is that call center relief.
Mm-hmm. Anything that increases collections is going to be good,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. You know, just a necessity now.
Right.
And so to increase collections and take away an FTE is huge to me.
It's a Raymond question, I guess, technically. Do our fees, meaning the portion of our fees that actually come to us, change whether the case goes to collections or not? In other words, if someone pays the case before it goes to collections, is there a benefit to us as an agency? I don't think it matters. But
okay. They add the 30% on and then keep that.
Okay. Okay. And then when we get our portion, it's split the same way.
Right.
And, okay.
Well, is the group comfortable with price? Comfortable with pricing, comma, ready to do their score sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you guys a few minutes to write the score sheets up, and then I can write them into the final spreadsheet that does the ranking. I would, if you can avoid ties, it's probably helpful.
So like an 8-way tie is not good?
No.
So I saved mine on the drive. Did you get mine?
Yeah.
It's in there. I started to do that, but then I just did it to get my sheet, but yours is in there.
Yeah, I thought mine was.
It's a tab in there.
Yeah, it should be a tab in that.
Okay. I put a tab in, I meant to delete it.
Can you rank those for me, Jill?
Oh.
One on the side. That.
Sure.
So I did not, I don't have that with me.
I'm just going to step out while that's going. I'll be right there.
I didn't realize I had it on my score sheet because I already did that. New to the process. It didn't change my mind, did it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what we're supposed to do.
He got tired.
He got up since he got.
He went home.
So. Can Kyle or somebody in your system give a statement on how secure our system is for data breach?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Can you give me a statement on how secure our system is for data breach?
Yep.
On emails and whatnot. That way we've got concerns with that individual.
Right. Because she's so, yeah.
I think we have a pretty tight system,
don't we? We put the money in it, though. We got layers.
Especially for emails, right?
Oh, yeah. We got layers and layers.
Yeah, just detail that to me in kind of layman's terms so that I can pass that along.
I won't get Kyle to do it, then.
Yeah, his email was a bit detailed.
I'll get him to write it down and then we'll reward it.
Thank you. I just want to lay her fears.
Okay.
Just sort of that one more step towards the customer service.
And how you the stuff for Monday, logo.
And did Kathy copy you on her response?
No.
Okay, I have that.
Breaker, still
I don't
recording.
Know if she copied anybody, but you. I didn't learn that word. I mean, I haven't heard from Gary or anybody.
Thanks.
I'll get all that stuff to you, Wendy.
I think it's under individual scoring, maybe. It should be. Yeah, DR. There you go. What? Thank you.
I did.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, I didn't rank them. You want to rank too?
Well, I'm just to eliminate the number of errors that I've made.
Hold on a second, I'm going to have you go over this for me.
I'm
going to have you go over this for me.
Oh.
After I get done.
I'm going to grab my glasses. Yes. How long will this be making it up?
I could tell this morning she was different.
Because she couldn't sleep. She's like, the judge does not want to go to the cheese. She's like, I'm going to do that with Monday soon. So.
That would be a bad thing. I
better get better. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Nothing.
I can't miss it. Going to be hurt. What else? Because Lorraine was like, I mean, Lorraine's going to look through it every year. After this, she'll go through it again. But
I'm surprised.
Yes.
Because we used to be in the market. I thought it was some little
I think this one, he's got them in a different order than you do.
I like the color.
Yes, mine is in different order.
Black and yellow. I sorted mine differently than you.
Yeah.
Good job. I was thinking this was like a Transformers.
You want me to change them?
I don't remember.
You want me to change them?
Yes, please.
Picture in the background.
I see.
You want me to read them to you in that order?
My boys would love that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're Steelers.
Seven for the first one.
Sure wish they had been in that Super Bowl.
Oh, I know.
But it was a good Super Bowl.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It
was
like, back and forth, all the way to the end.
And even in the end, everybody who's ever watched football kept thinking Brady's going to win. And he's going to bring it back. Mm-hmm.
And then that last, if he had caught that.
Oh,
if he had caught that.
And when he fumbled it, I was so happy.
Oh.
I like Brady too. I think they're wanting to win again.
Three. And five. Okay. Yeah. I had to be different, sorry.
All right, so that one is there. Okay.
Those good to walk.
Yes.
Are these your final ranks out here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That one's all right.
She is, yeah. Just so
yeah, I think those are all in now, dear. One, two, three, four, five. We have five voting members, is that what we have?
Yep.
And then the other one's on.
No, I don't want to name Steve.
All right, I'll let you do your calculation out here.
You're from Pennsylvania?
That's the one it used to be in.
Steve?
Yes.
Are you from Pennsylvania?
No, all my life I've been a Steelers fan.
Really?
And I knew
there's so many too.
As a little boy, I think,
you know,
first time I was little and seen a game and I seen their uniforms, I was like, oh, I love that team. And all my life. Now, I used to travel. I lived in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton for 4 years.
Right, that would be questionable.
My boys are born up there. My husband's from. I lived there 15 years before moving down here.
Okay. Where are there members?
I think they're just outside of things.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Okay, so we've done the final rankings, and NCORD is the winner with the final rank of one. Just to run down through the first three places, second was Point and Pay, and third was First Florida Integrity Bank. So we now, the next step is to enter discussions with NCORP. Of course, nothing is final until it's approved by the clerk of the circuit court. Thank you so much. I mean, I think I'm confident I picked the right people to serve on this committee, and I did learn a lot while you guys were discussing things. So, with that...
Do you want us to keep all of our paperwork, or what do you want done with that?
No, we'll turn all your paperwork into purchasing.
Okay. Even our notes and stuff, too, or...?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. And thus ends Selection Committee 2018-01. Thank you.
Good luck reading all this.